The Undad is part of the Alberta Podcast Network and is powered by ATB.
Hi, everybody. My name is Trent Wilkie, and this is the Undad Podcast. Is titled
Three Very Made Up Things.
The Death of Davis Rich.
My name is Davis Rich. I have killed 7 men and 1 woman and a horse. John Crone was my first. He didn't like me. He wanted to throw down, and I tried to dissuade him, but something about me reminded him of a great pain, I reckon. He was slow, and I knew this and used it to my advantage. I can still hear his wife screaming at me. The Turcotte brothers cut down my fences and rolled my cattle off. They said they had a right of pasture on my land, said it was good grazing land. They didn't care what the judge said or what lawful right I had to it. One night, heard them kicking up dust outside my window. They were looking to burn me out. Before they could do it, I shot them both and their dad. He came looking for me. I guess he didn't like people murdering his kin. I can understand that. Matt Clemens shot me twice, one in the brisket, the other in the knee. He was fast. I beat him fair at Pharaoh, and he didn't like that, I guess. He'd been losing all day, lost his claim too. He thought he killed me. He bet wrong. Again, I guess. From my back, I called his name through the blood that foamed at my lips. He looked around, not knowing which came. Finally, he looked down at me on the floor, and I shot him right through his fake eye. It took me a better part of a year to heal. The look on his face when I shot him helped me get through some tough nights. I mistook Charlie Grace for Red Morgan. To this act, I am deeply sorry. Red Morgan stole my poke and my horse and my wife. You see, he trailed with the Turcotte boys. Morgan was like a son to me. We went off into the dust together. We ran through the night. Horsemen, cattlemen, whatever we were doing, we were in our formative years, in our late teens and early 20s. One day, my wife was gone and my horse was gone. So was Morgan. I trailed him to a barn. And I burnt that barn to the ground. I didn't know that they were all inside. I didn't know that they were afraid of me. And I didn't know what I had done until I heard her yelling. She didn't mean to run off. He told her that he was going to kill me if she didn't. And here I am. Hiding out, the trees, the gun, not much else. It's all catching up to me. The times I think I deserve everything I'm gonna get. Times I think I could just keep running on and on and on and on. I don't know if I want to anymore. I got one bullet left. I'll wait to see what happens in the morning.
Park Power is a Sherwood Park, Alberta-based energy marketer operating under its electricity marketing business license issued by Service Alberta, They are a 100% privately owned and operated local business that believes in supporting the local economy. Visit www.parkpower.ca for more information. It is like getting your power from someone you trust as opposed to getting it from a disenfranchised vague prince who has millions to send you if you just give them all your private info over email. Right? Yes, very right.
The Eulogy of Maurice Money, written before his death by Maurice Money. Friends, thank you for joining what is left of me in celebration of me. If I still had emotions, which I'm not sure that I had to begin with, I would be touched appropriately. When I pulled the tear strip away from that Safeway poker contest card after I bought way too much Black Forest ham, I didn't know what was going to happen. But when I saw the four cherries and realized that I had won $1 million, I almost pooped right out of my bumhole. Truth be told, I actually just thought I won cherries. But when I learned that I had won $1 million, I got what doctors and scientists call a $1 million erection, which went on way, way too long. Now, I know what you're thinking. Nowadays, what does $1 million actually get you? Well, when you heavily invest in Dan Aykroyd's Crystal Skull Vodka, you get an extra $300,000 in a lifetime supply of Crystal Skull Vodka. My dudes, it totally works every time. In all seriousness, I would like you all to now check under your seats for a little something that will let you know what I think of you. You'll notice there's nothing there. Because, as you may or may not know, the human brain ceases to function after death, and with it, so does my ability to think about you or anything. Just think of something and I can't think about it because, well, to quote James Joyce in Ulysses, I'm deader than fuck. Can we all have a round of applause for science, by the way? Excellent. Please pay attention to this. I'm pretty sure that love is a magical light in which some of us blossom and some of us wilt. And the light in which my daughter Sarah shone upon me made me effervescent. It made me thrive with a need to be better than what I was, to care about the world around me more than I cared about myself. She taught me what it was like to love without the need of reward. Empathy. Sarah taught me empathy before she could even speak. It was her eyes. Magical. With a clarity beyond words, I will always miss my darling Sarah. I don't have anything smart-ass to say about her. She is the one true thing I am proud of in my life. I would really like to incite a very rousing riot right now, but because I know my daughter is here, I will not. I respect her more than I respect the entirety of my living existence. So I will bid adieu with this quote from W.H. Auden. Looking up at the stars, I know quite well that for all they care, I can go to hell. But on earth, indifference is the least we have to dread from man or beast. How should we like it were stars to burn with a passion for us we could not return? If equal affection cannot be, let the more loving one be me. And now, put your cups to your lips and let's get shitty. Good night, you idiots. I was Maurice Money. And now, I'm nothing.
We ask these children if they know when to go to emergency and when there are other options.
If, like, your heart stopped beating, if you were really sick,
if you were super duper hurt, you'd come.
They're there to treat people that are really sick or really hurt and they need attention right away.
If you have an emergency, we're here to help. If it's not an emergency, you have options. Take control of your health. Call 811 or visit ahs.ca/options.
Saying sorry. A short story. The police said he was living in the bush for quite some time. Probably all of his life. I had no idea. I really didn't. It was Sunday morning when he knocked on the door. I opened it and said the usual hello. We didn't get many people out of these parts. I'm pretty secluded. I should have checked the peephole. I feel pretty stupid about that now. Before I knew it, he just barged in and went right for the fridge. He was maybe 14, gangly and filthy. His clothes didn't fit. He obviously didn't wash. I wouldn't say that I felt threatened, but there was something very odd about the boy. I mean, who does that? "Excuse me," I said, and tried to close the fridge door. "Don't you fucking touch that. It's mine now," the boy said. "You owe me. You owe me big." His voice was gravelly, guttural, like he was taught to speak by screaming words. "Owe you? I'll call the police, young man. I'll call them right now," I said. I should have just called and got it over with. "You don't want to do that," he said, between mouthfuls of shaved chicken. "Yes, I do," I said, which now seems like an odd response. He said I didn't, but I did. You know, I mean, I didn't pick up on his threatening tone, which is what that wording was. But he was just a young boy. And he had an uncanny resemblance to my father, of all people. It was offsetting. I almost felt sorry for him. That was until he fractured my skull with a frying pan. When I woke up, all I could hear was running water. I wanted to throw up and couldn't see out of my right eye. I had no idea how long I was out. Well, I have an idea. It probably was as long as it takes to tie someone up and shove them into an old wash basin. The steel kind. Do you remember those? Anyway, this one had me in it, and it was filling up with water. "Help me, oh God. My God, help me. Somebody, please," is what I could remember screaming. I could have been screaming other things, but those are the things I remember. "What do I remember?" is what he said to me. "How do you like it, huh? How do you like this?" he was yelling and spitting at me. I did not like it, not at all. I mean, who would? But then, it all started to make sense. "I was just a baby. A baby," he continued. And then something clicked. I started to remember. "What?" I asked to get him to elaborate on the baby remarks. "Like I was garbage. You didn't care. You weren't even paying attention." He was yelling and pouring soap into the basin now. "Well, we'll see how you like it. We'll see how you fucking like it." And then it all made sense. It was 14 years ago. It was something I buried deep down. Postpartum, is that what they call it? I can't fully remember. "It was an accident, Corey," I screamed. "I'm so sorry." But he wouldn't listen. He just started laughing as he shoved the basin over. As I started to fall beyond the fulcrum point, I realized that we were on a train trestle, and below us was very, very rough and rocky water. All I could hear as I spilled out of the basin was the sound of rapids, my screaming, and his laughter. When I woke up, I was in the hospital. I couldn't feel my legs. To add to that, the police were there. I did my best to answer fully, well, almost fully. I didn't tell them that I knew the boy from so many years ago. In fact, I told them I didn't know who my assailant was at all. I mean, how do you tell someone that it was something stupid and unforgivable that led you to this? How do you tell someone that 14 years ago, you threw a baby out with the bathwater?
I'd like to thank Andrew Paul for producing this episode. I'd also like to thank the Edmonton Community Foundation for the recording space and the support. I'd also like to thank Nathaniel Sutton of Brother Octopus / Defend the Rhino / whatever it is the heck he's working on for the intro music. You can find me at theundad.com or online at theundad on Twitter, or just type in theundad on Facebook, or you can email me at trent@thetrentwilkie.com, or you can just see me on the street and give me a way too long hug.